In the spaghetti westerns, the good guys usually wore the white Stetsons, the bad guys dressed in black. In our living color world, there are shades of gray, and Adrian Lamo is known as a gray hat hacker. Adrian spent much of his late teens and early 20s breaking into the computer systems of major corporations, including WorldCom and Excite at Home. In those cases, he was regarded as an Internet Zorro of sorts, alerting companies to their vulnerabilities. Some corporations officially thanked him. But when he cracked the database at the New York Times, that company was neither grateful nor amused. It pressed charges. The 23-year-old has pled guilty, and he's scheduled to be sentenced tomorrow.
For the most part, I'm going to have to stick to my plea allocution on that one. In or about February of 2002, I did without authorized Zicknone. It was pretty much the same schema as what came before it. The difference was I went a little bit deeper than, actually probably a lot deeper than I should have. They didn't appreciate it, and nor should they have. I think that the whole thing could have been handled better, but I'm happy to be having it come to a resolution. I'll be happy when I've done my time in whatever form it comes, and I'm able to put it behind me.
You were able to, just so that listeners know what we're talking about here, you were able to get into the New York Times using your laptop, and you were able to access the Times LexisNexis database, which they pay a pretty good bit of money for, and you were also able to get to some personal information as well, right?
That's correct. During my unauthorized intrusion into the Times, I accessed personal information regarding many of the op-ed contributors, which were a pretty interesting bunch of names, ranging from former presidents to people in interesting positions in the UN to actors, and really just about anybody else that you could imagine having something to say by way of the New York Times.
Did you have to use any special tools or anything?
For the things that I did, I never used anything really other than Internet Explorer. I'd occasionally use a few pieces of software to automate things that would otherwise take me days to do by hand, but it all came back to the web browser. That for me is really because of the obsession that we have in this day and age in putting everything on the web. While it's certainly not a defense to the things that I've done, I like to think that at least a few of the hacks that I was involved in will put people in a better state of awareness that when you put a resource online, it's implicitly available to anybody that cares to access it.
You've been called a hacker, and that generally means making these intrusions, these electronic intrusions, as you describe it. How'd you get into it? I mean, you don't know a lot of complex computer language like C++ or Java or any of that, right?
Well, for one, I don't really characterize myself as a hacker. What I do is less about technology and more about ways of looking at the world. It's always been for me about seeing pieces of the world differently, seeing things that people see every day, and being able to pick out pieces that go unnoticed.
So do you remember your first hack?
It really depends on your definition of hack. As far back as elementary school, I'd do little things like poke through the trash in the school office to find out when the next unscheduled fire drill would be, things like that. And by unscheduled, I mean unannounced. To me, hacking is a mindset, and it's not necessarily about computers.
Of course, the modem opens up a whole world of opportunity.
It's true, although, ironically, my first access to the web was almost a dumb terminal at San Francisco Public Library, and just the other day I found a photograph of me standing by it. I don't remember when it was taken. My dad must have taken it, but it was just really strange to find it at this point in my life because I had no idea it existed, but it was me at all of 14 years of age standing next to the terminal where I'd very first accessed the web from, where I'd first punched hacking into a search engine.
You know, it seems to me somebody with your curiosity, your interest, and your skill could make for themselves a pretty profitable career as a security expert, obviously.
There's things that I really learned from the process of my crimes, and one of them is that the security industry is a dishonest profession. It relies on people's fear. It relies on manufacturing fear by hyping up vulnerabilities that will really have no real-world applications and forcing people to pay more money to defend against them. It's really not something that I'm interested in supporting or being a part of. It's not something that I could feel proud of. There's nobody in the security industry today that I could point at and say, yeah, they're good people. They've done good.
Adrian Lamo is scheduled to be sentenced tomorrow for hacking the servers of the New York Times Company. He faces 6 to 12 months and up to $70,000 in damages.